We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Lieutenant Governor McKay, as part of an executive order signed by Governor Raimondo in February, you were designated to lead an effort to help cities and towns save money. Has any progress been made on that front?
Well, I think it has. We have put a line item in the budget. The governor put a community innovation fund line in the budget that will help us take a look at things that would enable communities to find those savings and identify those. And we've had...
So explain that. Well, it would be spending money to help municipalities find ways to save money. Is that right?
It's mirrored after what is in the Massachusetts budget, where they have been very successful with, I think they got about 68 pilot projects on the table with, by using a small fund to be able to investigate and draft data that would help cities and towns find ways to lower their costs.
And we know in Rhode Island that a lot of times, although we are the smallest state, it seems the state's small size makes it harder to change things. What has to happen to really move ahead in helping municipalities to cut some of their spending or save money?
Well, first, I think that you need to identify that the fact that the municipal leaders that I'm familiar with, that I've worked with, are very much prepared to do just that. So you do need to have, on the state level, some enabling legislation. We have a proposal in front of the General Assembly now that would allow, for instance, governance models to kind of be shaped between the local community and the state. That would be very helpful. And we're looking at very seriously the regional public safety dispatch in, which has been very, very successful in Massachusetts in a number of instances. So we see that as the first potential step.
Let's go to Scott.
Most of the money you spend, though, locally, you're talking about little tiny stuff around the margins. Education is by far, for most communities, their biggest single cost item. How do you consolidate and how do you save money on the education side?
We put schools in the executive order, cities and towns.
Well, where
and
are their promise? Where is the promising parts of the education system where we can save money, tighten things up?
Well, I think it's in the administration initially. I also have been advocating for a statewide contract for every new hire that is hired into the state, and we'll be working on that and trying to develop that idea and build in buy-in for it. But it is difficult. I'm not saying that it's, but I believe that you need to start the discussion. I think that in the earlier segment, I referred to the fact that Governor Raimondo has showed some leadership in bringing things to a boiling point. Scott, it's going to take a little bit of willpower, and you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone in that space, clearly, which I have. And yet, there's a whole bunch of pushback going on right now about shutting down the mayoral academies that are actually regional and saving money and creating high levels of performance. And
some people don't agree with that.
They may not agree with it, but the facts are true. And then if I could just add while I get the mic here, is that this notion that somehow we can't afford to innovate in that area is just false. In our town, our schools have improved every year since the Mayoral Academy opened up. Our schools have run surpluses every year since the Mayoral Academy opened up. And also, our property taxes did not spike in our community. We've had an average of less around 1% over the time frame that the Mayoral Academy has opened up. The same thing has happened in Lincoln. So, be making decisions on false information, that could be very dangerous to the state.
Well, speaking of charter schools, there are some anti-charter bills making their way through the General Assembly as the legislature heads toward the end of its session. One House bill would give the legislature control over approving new charter schools. Do you expect Governor Raimondo to sign these bills if they make their way through the legislature?
Well, I think that the governor has been, pretty forthright about the fact that she supports the idea of choice, and I think she's been on the record of doing that. So I think that it'll be interesting I won't speak for the governor, but I would say that you're going to have to look very strong and hard at legislation that's currently come out of committee that is designed not only to close down schools of choice for parents, but also to bankrupt them on a financial basis as well. When the information comes out, we'll see what happens.
We're talking here with Lieutenant Governor Daniel McKay. Now back to Scott.
The Pawtucket Red Sox issue is really boiling at the State House and around the state, getting a lot of discussion. Why should the new ownership of the Paw Sox stay in McCoy Stadium, hard to get to, declining attendance for years and years, despite very affordable prices?
Why wouldn't they stay there?
Right.
In my opinion, I think that they should be exploring staying there. I think they should be exploring.
Why? People aren't going. The attendance is down. It's old. It needs, they say, $60 million in renovations. Why would you invest in that if your attendance keeps going down every year and your prices are very affordable? Cheaper to take a carload of kids to McCoy Stadium than to go to the movies.
Well, I think that the infrastructure there could be improved. The investment could be made there. If they end up going to Providence, what I've said privately and publicly, that it needs to be a positive, and the people in the state of Rhode Island have got to believe that it's a good thing for them. And we haven't seen that proposal yet, and hopefully we'll see that proposal and keep them either Pawtucket or Providence, but under conditions that it's a positive. Rhode Island doesn't need any more negatives, Scott. We need a positive, and the people have to feel good about the proposal. And the individuals that are involved, they're saying they really want to stay in Rhode Island, and they have real good feelings about Rhode Island. So it's time to put that on the table and make it happen.
We're taping here on Thursday, and you testified today before the State Public Utilities Commission against how the utility charges a fee if consumers switch to another utility. How do you see the outlook for changing that?
Well, I think that if you want to have competition, and that's what happened, the General Assembly 16 years ago said we should have competition in our electric rates, yet we've structured the whole mechanism to not allow that to happen. And this adjustment that could be charged to a ratepayer really stops them from even wanting to even explore that, where other states like Connecticut and Pennsylvania are approaching 40%. And we of ratepayers taking advantage of competition. We've got 6%. We'll see what happens. The National Grid, the Division of Public Utilities, the Attorney General's Office, and our office have all testified in favor of dropping the adjustment. Now we'll see what the PUC does about that and whether they actually listen or whether they just continually keep the things the way they are, which is very, very bad for the ratepayers. They need the competition to lower their costs.
Why are we so far behind the other New England states in getting Canadian hydropower? I don't understand that. I know National Grid doesn't want it, and the utilities like to own, you know, what they generate and sell, but I don't understand that. It's renewable power. It's cheaper.
I'm not sure. I can't really answer that. I'm not really up on why that is the case, although I do know that there is the efforts right now about, you know, the capacity issue, and I just got word that Connecticut did pass some legislation that we've been waiting on them to pass to create a regional strategy. So it would make common sense if you get that capacity issue, Scott. It also would make common sense to be talking about the hydro, whether it comes from Canada or whether it comes from Pennsylvania area, which I believe that right now we're not even considering.
Some people like to question if we really need a lieutenant governor's office in Rhode Island. So how have you been spending your time and energy in a way that shows that the value of the office?
Well, we just talked about it with the PUC. I mean, that rate increase was $105 million increase that ratepayers in the state of Rhode Island on that one shot. I intervened in December. The docket is actually active because of our intervention. So we're rallying around the small business friendliness. Our theme of the office is going to be Advance Rhode Island, and in the business area is boosting business friendliness. We've already had that company that I talked about during the campaign from San Francisco that had ranked small business in the state as an F rating, Thumbtack, in from San Francisco with multiple businesses and with decision makers from the governor's office, because we've been very interactive with the governor's office staff, and I'm very pleased about that. So look, if you got no ideas, you're not willing to actually shake it up and get out of your comfort zone and try to help the state become a better place and a place where people want to live, then, you know, you should just stay home. Time will tell, but we're very active on the education issue, the small business issues, and as you talked about, the regionalization issues, and that's a good workload to try to help the state of Rhode Island.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And Lieutenant Governor Daniel McKee.
Well, thanks for the invite.